Microphones or their speakers are switched off, please. So cheers, Eva Carja, this is Fulcheroe. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for the discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting. And somebody's speakers are on. Anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the meeting tonight. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to, and having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messaging feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. I would, like to just start off by a few charged remarks. And as everyone's aware, this year my theme has been mental health, champion the topic of mental health. And I suppose now more than ever, we're all out and about as elected representatives speaking to constituents and hearing issues. And I don't think anyone disputes that everyone is under major stress and pressure at the minute, and it's affecting all generations with the current cost of living. And it is having a major impact on their health and wellbeing. So I would just simply ask that we all keep this in mind as we encounter our friends, families and even strangers, and maybe just make an extra effort to help where we can, whether it be just a bit of support or signposting to local services where needed, and also just to keep a close eye on each other. I'd also like to welcome Belfast Legal Services to the meeting tonight. If we move on to item number one, have we any apologies?
Councillor Valerie Hart.
Thanks, Charlie.
Councillor Stokes.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Councillor Hannah and Councillor Owens, please.
Thank you. Marie.
Councillor Devlin as well.
And Marie Ward and Johnny McBride. Okay, thank you. Item number two then is the declarations of interest. Any declarations? Okay. Item number three then is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 7th of March. So just go through it page by page. It's page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, page seven, page eight, page nine, and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Thank you, Robert. And seconded by Councillor Gallagher. Any matters arising? Okay. So we move on to item number four, which is the call-in from the council meeting held on the 7th of February 2022. And I'm going to hand over to Dorina. You're going to take this item.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, at our February meeting, there was a notice of motion before Council, and a decision was made at that meeting that Council join as a notice party to legal proceedings initiated by Belfast City Council against the Minister for Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs. The decision of Council was challenged under the call-in provisions under Part 21 of Council's standing orders. In accordance with standing orders, it was further referred for legal opinion. So, members, I refer you to the paper that is within your meeting pack tonight, which details the call-in and furthermore details the legal opinion received. I would advise members that both the paper attaching to this and the legal opinion are exempt under paragraph 5 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. So any discussion of the correspondent legal opinion will have to be in closed session.
Okay, thank you, Dorina. Henry, you have a question then?
Yes, thank you. Dorina, I wanted to know why it has to go into closed session, because the legislation that you're quoting, does that not more refer to people, personnel issues and things like that on a legal basis? Surely it's in the public interest for the public to know the contents of the legal advice that we've got. I think it's very, very important that the public would know that. And I think if we are going to go into any sort of committee hearing for it, that it should be done on the basis of a recorded vote, because this is a very, very divisive issue, as has been recognised in the legal advice. So I would be grateful for your comment on that, please.
Sure. There are a number of provisions within the Local Government Act about matters going into closed session. You refer to one about personnel matters, which is right. The section that this is exempt is paragraph 5 of part 6, information in relation to which a claim to legal professional privilege could be maintained in legal proceedings. And it's under that part that we would be recommending compliance with the Local Government Act, and we would be recommending that discussion that the public are excluded during this item of business. But it would be for members to agree.
And has the actual barrister, has he requested that secrecy?
It's a matter of compliance with the Local Government Act. It's not for the barrister to determine.
Are you absolutely certain about that? Absolutely certain that there's no overriding public interest in this instance?
As an officer of the council, I'm advising you to comply with the Local Government Act, but it is a decision for members of this council.
Well, I think
Henry, look, there's other people just looking in. Barra, you're looking in with a proposal and you've a comment as well.
Yeah, Chair, we don't see this as a controversial issue whatsoever. I think it could be misconstrued and it could be turned into something that it's not. The motion was very clear at the time to join Belfast as a notice party in a legal action against the Minister for Action that he took at that time. And we don't see that as controversial. The decision to pass the motion was called in, and the legal advice clearly states that it didn't have the grounds to be called in, and we're happy to proceed with the motion as was worded. Thanks.
Thank you, Barra. And you have a seconder there in Councillor Hanlon? Okay, thank you. Councillor Taylor, you have a question?
Yes, Chair. We've obviously taken note of the legal advice. Well, obviously conscious about the Local Government Act and mentions that you know that our acting chief executive has mentioned in respect to that. Though there are a number of issues that have been raised through this, and it isn't clear even from the recommendations that are contained within the paper that we actually just proceed to move forward the decision that was taken that night. We obviously disagreed with that and called in, but there are other recommendations that need to be considered and discussed as well. I'm conscious that maybe we can't discuss that within this forum, an open forum, but all the same, there's more points to consider rather than just proceeding with a decision to go ahead with the legal action. And I think we need to clarify those points and go into those points in more depth before any decision is taken. I obviously have, you know, outlined my view on it, and other unionist representatives have a strong view on it as well, but I don't think it's as straightforward, you know, based on the report that I've seen and the recommendations from a legal point of view, that we just move forward and proceed with the decision that was taken prior to that.
Okay, so we will have to move into closed session. David, if that's the case, are you happy to do that? I need a proposer and a seconder.
I so propose, Chair. I'm having technological issues, but I'm happy to propose.
Okay, proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor McAteer.
Yep.
Court of vote. And I made a point of order. Well, it wasn't really a point of order, but I wanted to ask a question of the proposer of the motion, who said that there's no need for any discussion on.
Sneak big love in the chambers to mess.
Yeah, we're agreed to go into a closed session, so we're just waiting on that happening.
Present and voting.
84.8.
81?
84.8. Councillor Riley, there was 33 councillors present. There was 28 for and 5 against.
What percentage is that?
84.8%.
Right.
Okay, so we've got a proposer and a seconder to come out of closed session. We're going to bring the press back in. Okay, so while we were in closed session, it was agreed by a qualified majority vote that the notice of motion from the full council meeting held on the 7th of February 2022 proceeds with equality screening. And we will now move on to item number 5, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of March 2022. And page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13 and page 14. Can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 18th of March 2022, and page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please?
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor McAteer.
Seconded, Chair.
And seconded by Councillor Kern. Any matters arising? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 24th of March 2022 with the South Eastern Trust. And page by page is page 1, page 2, and page 3. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Sharvin. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. And Councillor Sharvin, you have a comment?
Yeah, Chair. It actually was a really useful meeting with the Trust, but was disappointing of how many councillors actually made the time to attend. I don't know whether it was confusion between Teams and Zoom, but, you know, just having SLP Sinn Féin and one independent councillor in attendance isn't quite good enough, particularly when health is so important within our area. So maybe if we can look to see if Zoom was the issue, that we organise it over Teams the next time with the Trust. But, Chair, as you were in attendance, you hopefully echo my sentiments that it was a really useful meeting with Roisin and her team around the down and the services within the area.
Thanks, Gareth. And yes, no, I do agree. It was a very useful meeting. I'm sure Councillor Hanlon will agree as well. She was there too, and Councillor Malone, if I remember correctly. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 8. Which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 24th of March, and page by page for accuracy is page 1 and page 2. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor McAteer. And seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Any matters arising? Oh. Can I get a seconder from someone who was in attendance? So in attendance was Councillor Gibbons, Riley, Savage, McKee, Ryan, and Tinley. Can I get a seconder for those minutes, please?
I have you the second, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage.
Sorry, my message wasn't working there.
No worries, thank you. And any matters arising? Okay, we move on to item number 9. Which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 14th of March 2022. And page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
No proposal, sir.
Proposed, I'm just going to take this on the screen, proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Ryan. And any matters arising? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 10, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 16th of March. And page by page is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. And a proposer and a seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Any matters arising?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor McAteer?
Yes, Chair. And I was just really it was on page number 2 on that. Regarding the formation of the our New Ireland Working Group, and it was just really to, I suppose, publicly say really that we're disappointed, of course, that the unionist colleagues didn't see fit to join us, unfortunately. But just to make it clear in public that, you know, unionists are in my opinion, are being hamstrung by internal divisions and pressure, you know, which will ultimately disenfranchise them from the greater field of discussion around the subject, you know, never mind local level, what we're trying to do here. And it should be realised by now, by unionism, that the British government is absolutely no friend of unionism, quite contrary to an Irish government, who could never even publicly be seen to listen, act, and anything other in an honourable fashion with them. And I just think that needs to be made clear. One example of that is the Shared Island Unit, which has been formed by the Taoiseach, Neil Martin, which provides cooperation on many, many issues affecting us here throughout the whole island and a mutual benefit to us all. But whatever about reluctance to get involved, the Unionist Party in New Ireland, I was by surprise at the Alliance Party and Councillor McMurray, who spoke instead of colleague Brown, who actually is a member of the SPNR, which is rather strange. But he relied quite heavily on the opinions of former Irish international rugby player Andrew Trimble. And unfortunately, and I read the article in the Irish Times, and unfortunately he totally misquoted Mr. Trimble, who was very much an advocate for dialogue, and was very open to explore what is possible in an all-Ireland context. So just the observation is, I know the Alliance are always very uncomfortable to take uncomfortable decisions and uncomfortable discussions, even at council level. But I think that particular section of community, which would be, I would deem, light unionists, would be, I think it was incumbent upon them to take part in this. And it was quite unclear, really, if you read the minutes from Councillor McMurray, whether they intended to take part or not. They abstained from it, but then said they looked forward to receiving an invitation. So I just like to ask them publicly, you know, do they intend to cooperate in this and to take part in this or not?
Okay, Councillor O'Murray.
Like, sure. I don't know who rattled Declan's cage tonight, but I can think of nothing worse in life at the minute than playing out this again. This got played out for a year in good relations and equality in good relations. It got played out again in SPNR, and we know where everybody, exactly where everybody stands on it, and we respect completely, 100% respect where everybody's views are on it, and there's different views on it, and that's what we need the working group for. So it's not about who's right, who's wrong, who's anything. It's about everybody sitting down together and discussing the pros and cons, the merits and demerits of what Irish unity would mean for this district. So unfortunately, it looks like we're going to have to rehash it all again. So just ask everyone to speak with a modicum of respect for each other in doing so. But happy to. I think it's been proposed. It's been proposed and seconded that this goes through anyway. But that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks, Barra. Councillor Lewis.
Chair, thank you. I wasn't planning on rehashing this or speaking, and quite frankly, the type of comments we've heard from Councillor McTeer would be what I would expect to come from Sinn Féin, and if it was, I wouldn't even have concerned myself with responding to it, because they think one way and I think differently. And Declan, I don't think you should be sitting there smiling, because I'll say quite clearly, I take no lectures from you, and I don't need to be told by you what my unionism is and why I'm a unionist. And quite frankly, I think you should be looking at sorting out some of the splits and the divisions closer to home before you should be sitting there and dictating to us. And quite frankly, what you said earlier on just basically lowered the tone of the whole debate, and unfortunately has just put this back on and rehashed it all over again. Such stupid comments to come out with.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Taylor?
Chair, thanks very much. Like Councillor Lewis, I actually hadn't intended to speak on this issue, because as Barra has mentioned, we've debated this for over a year, and we had a fairly lengthy and substantial discussion at a previous SPNR meeting. The discussion was very clear in terms of where we all stand on this issue, but it was respectful in many ways as well, which on one hand is to be welcomed, because we'll have many differences in this council chamber, and we always have had differences, particularly when it comes to the constitution. But as long as we can do that in a respectful manner, I think that probably benefits everybody. But what I've heard from Councillor McAteer is nothing short of disgraceful, if I'm being honest with you. He's degraded unionism. He's talked down to us like we're almost, you know, I'm going to be careful with my words here. I'm astonished, actually, by what he's come out with. And I'm actually astonished, and I not need to defend the Alliance Party, but he's actually described the Alliance Party as a small unionist party. I think his own party will be concerned by those remarks, given that a substantial number of people who vote Alliance actually transferred to the SDLP. So maybe Declan can explain that as well, because the Alliance Party, and I would be critical about the fact that they don't take up a position on the Constitution. I think they're actually, I know, abdicating their responsibility to electorate and not being clear on that. But for Declan to maybe, particularly at the mouth of an election, to turn around and tell their electorate that they're not the transfer for them in many ways, because they're a small unionist, I think that's naive on your part, Declan, I have to say, because it's clear, and I think the Irish News poll today makes that very clear, that Alliance voters actually seem to transfer to various parties of different, you know, constitutional positions. So for them to be described as a small unionist party is very interesting, and it's probably something you should reflect on. But listen, our position is very clear in this, Declan. I just can't understand why you don't realise we will not want to participate in something that seeks to destroy the union. And that's what any United Ireland or New Ireland project, forum, whatever you want to describe it as, seeks to do. And I cherish the union. I want to create a better Northern Ireland, and think if we all focused on that more, we would all be in a better place. But I have no interest in developing a United Ireland, or seeking to try and offer some support in developing a United Ireland. So I'm astonished at your comments tonight here, and say that the debate had been respectful, both within the Equality Forum, where we had the space and time and privacy actually to be as blunt as we could be in many ways, and then subsequently at SPNR. We have our constitutional positions, we hold them close to each of our hearts. What you've done tonight actually is send the thing backward, and it wouldn't give anybody an encouragement to join any forum, I'm going to be honest with you, Declan.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And again, I suppose like my former speakers, Councillor O'Murray and Councillor Taylor, who both are members of said Equalities Good Relations working group, they sort of paid homage to the manner in which said discussions were taking place, and I think that was quite right, you know. And they were taking place in the So it's difficult really to sort of where to come with this. I actually don't know. I've actually got two props on there, unbeknownst to me. I've got a green hat and an orange. I mean, which one would you like me to present to you, Declan? I mean, it's a bit strange. I mean, sort of interest whenever I get berated for being a member of a party that doesn't take a constitutional position and then get told you should really be part of a party that takes a constitutional position. I mean, where do you go with that? It didn't directly quote Mr. Trimble. I'm not sure how you'd feel about us talking about it, but I said that if one was to read the article, one would actually get a semblance for the feeling of a certain brand of people within this corner of a landmass that we find ourselves on. So that's what I actually said. But since he's going to start going down this road, I'll quite happily continue to go down this road, because whenever I took further discussions with members of his party and asked him whether or not they should be involving councils at this stage, the answer was emphatically no. So that the SDLP now has a contradiction in this is quite sort of befuddling to me, so it is, but then that wouldn't really be unusual for the SDLP at this moment in time either. The final point I would like to make is, again, just to clarify to Mr. McAteer, Councillor McAteer, do apologise, Councillor McAteer, the final point I would like to make is, it was very clear in the motion that this was a working group looking at specifics of an idea that has not had any specifics put upon it. Okay, that was the foundation of my position. Now, as I also made clear, and I'm quite happy to do so, I will quite happily avail of my invitation to said group, and I'll quite happily avail to discuss and take listen and all the rest that goes with it. But I just think that it's surprising. Well, actually, no, it's not surprising. I mean, let's be honest about it. We are in the jaws of an election, so that's, you know, we do come here and get told, berated by one other, that we shouldn't be electioneering. But it is quite clear that that's what Councillor McAteer is doing. But that's fine. That's okay. That's his want. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Andy, Councillor Rowley.
Thanks very much, Alan, Chair. Yeah, I agree with what previous unionist speakers have said. This is another absurdity, another abuse of council structures by Sinn Féin. And, you know, what's the point in it? Absolutely pointless, because the silliest man in the country knows that there's not going to be a United Ireland. If there is going to be one, it would probably be one with the 26 counties back in the United Kingdom as a devolved part of the UK. Because it's just not going to happen. And Sinn Féin have to understand that. And one of the things that really bugs me, you know, one thing that the protocol has thrown up is that Ireland is literally subjugated to Brussels and the European Union. And we've seen that very, very well, because we're still partly subjugated by the European Union through the protocol, that it's going to cost ordinary households hundreds of pounds extra a year in heating oil and heating expenses and a range of other issues because of the protocol, that the tax breaks and tax incentives that England, Scotland and Wales are going to get, we can't get because we're stuck in this protocol. And that's what Sinn Féin wants to drag us into, being governed by Brussels, unaccountable bureaucrats in Brussels. It's not going to happen. And it's the onus on every unionist and every lover of democracy in Northern Ireland is to get us to a position the same as England, Scotland and Wales, where we can solely determine our own affairs and not have foreign interference. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Councillor McAteer, I'm not dwelling on this any longer. No, I'm going to move on. Closer and seconder. If there is anything you do need to raise with councillors, can you just do it offline? I don't want to discuss this any further. So we have a proposer and a seconder for those minutes, and we move on to item number 11. Which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee, meeting held on the 24th of March 2022. So page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Can I get proposer and seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor McAvoy and seconded by Councillor O'Murray. Any matters arising? No? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 12, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 23rd of March 2022. And page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Can I get a proposer and a seconder, please?
Chair, I don't have any technology, but I'm only too happy to propose.
Proposed by Councillor Andrews?
Yes, it was present at the meeting, so I'm happy enough. It's a true record.
Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Clark. Any matters arising? Okay, so move on to item number 13, which is the planning section, the local development plan. And there's just one page in this, so can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Burgess. Do you want to use your microphone, Robert? Nobody can hear you, just sorry.
Yes, Chair, I propose that we approve this here because there's also a special workshop coming up to arrange for the coastal, and I think it's going to be very good, that.
Great, thank you, Robert. And seconded by Councillor Larkin. And any matters arising? Okay, so items number 14 to item number 20 are correspondence for noting. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to note?
I so propose, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Seconded by Councillor Kern. And if you do, if there is any matters arising, if you can let me know which it relates to. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on item 16 on the free school meals. I know from Anna, I know my council asked us to write back. We're looking forward to a response on the free school meals for every child. And I want to propose that we write to the Education Minister, Michelle McElveen, to reactivate the free schools meals payment scheme that was in use throughout the lockdown, COVID lockdown, which actually worked very well at identifying those in need. And targeting resources at those that are in need. And I know we know with the cost of energy crisis and the cost of living crisis that mid and low income families are now falling into poverty in terms of struggling. I'm not going to rehash the debates that we had on the cost of living, as everybody in this chamber knows. But the scheme, the free school meals payment scheme, is similar to the Scottish scheme that's in place over the last couple of months, and they have the ability to go out and identify those that are struggling during this time. So instead of writing back to the council to say that we would agree with every child getting a free school meal, because there are certain people that actually don't avail of it, that we identify those that are in need of it, and that's one way, a mechanism of doing it, and it allows all ministers then to target resources in support of that reactivated scheme is up and going again. So I'll make that a proposal.
I second that, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Byrne, can I just clarify, is it the incoming minister, just with the executive, it's just the incoming education minister, the education department?
No, it's writing to the current education minister, because I know with the legislation coming through in from Westminster over the last couple of months that they are still in post, and maybe it's still in post for the next 6 months. So I don't want to wait until the next minister comes in, because this is a live issue. So I think we should still write to the current minister, as the minister still holds the post right now.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne, and a seconder in Councillor Andrews. And Barr, you want to comment on that?
Yeah,
item?
I had signalled to second it on the screen, and just a small comment, just in agreement with Pete. It's not everybody that needs a free school meal, and I suppose that in times of cost of living crisis, it everything needs to be, there needs to be a sharp focus on the families and the children that are in need. And I would echo everything that he had said there in writing to the education minister and making sure that the focus is always on those in most need.
Thanks, Barra. Okay, so proposer and a seconder then for that, everybody in agreement. Okay. Next there is Councillor Mulgrew.
Yes, Chair, thank you.
You're on mute, Roisin.
I have my can't keep one thing going. Mine was item
Councillor Mulgrew, we can't hear you. I'm not sure if you're on mute or
Is that any better?
Yeah, we can hear you now, yeah.
Sorry, I'm having my usual technical difficulties, Chair. Sorry about that. Yeah, I just wanted to mention the correspondence which we had received from the ambulance service. That we had the special meeting which was organised last week with the ambulance service and the Southern Trust. Now, we were told at that meeting that that documentation was sent to the council prior to that meeting, and unfortunately we did not have that documentation whenever we went into the meeting. Now, I know that day, again, there was only three councillors were able to attend that meeting, and there was another meeting scheduled 1 hour before that meeting, which ran on, and a number of councillors were involved in that. You know, again, just on what has already been said about the importance and significance of health in our district at the minute, you know, I think we need to be mindful of the time of these meetings and the, you know, putting these meetings into the diary and having so many special meetings so tight and so close together. You are effectively making it incredibly difficult for elected reps, but it was disappointing that we didn't have the information which the ambulance service had sent back to council prior to that meeting. On a plus side, I suppose, you know, they did stress, both the Trust and the Ambulance Service, the absolute critical role that Daisy Hill will serve in the health service and certainly in a post-COVID world. They did give us a level of comfort that the ambulance service had been engaged prior to the removal of the emergency services and that other systems were put in place to mitigate a negative impact on the ambulance service, including a direct admission to the ward as opposed to patients having to go through another emergency department route whenever they were transferred to Craigavon. Now, that does not mitigate the fact that the ambulance service continues to be under severe pressure. They continue to be understaffed, first and foremost. COVID has had a huge impact on their existing staff, and also the time spent at emergency departments with the handover of patients is time that has taken them out attending their next patient. So they continue to raise the ongoing issues, and I just want to have on record that we maybe as a council look at our diary and the times of meetings and making sure that councillors are furnished with the necessary information before we go into a meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Savage, you're looking to comment on item 18.
You hear me, Chair?
Yep, can indeed.
Yeah, Chair, it's just in relation to the response from Minister Swan in relation to our letter in relation to the future of Daisy Hill. First and foremost, I would encourage everyone, and I think as elected reps, to get everybody to respond as much as they possibly can in relation to the forthcoming public consultation on the Urgent and Emergency Care Review, which sets out the Minister's vision for future urgent and emergency care services. From what I've been told, Chair, it's very, very important for the sustainability of the Type 1 emergency service at Daisy Hill Hospital that the current HDU, High Dependency Unit, is enhanced to a level beyond where it is at the moment if we're going to have any long-term viability of our emergency services there. And, you know, there is a demand for our ED unit at Daisy Hill. One evening last week, there were 89 people. And I'm aware of one gentleman who was in a such for the pressures on our local department that he was put on a chair with a drip from 10 o'clock in the morning and didn't get a bed until 4:30 the following morning. So there are big pressures and big demands, and I believe that we should be front and centre of encouraging people to ensure that we do our damnedest to ensure that Daisy Hill ED does not slip from type 1 to a type 2. And I'm concerned that steps need to be taken as a community to ensure that we sustain that Type 1 categorisation of Daisy Hills ED unit. I do note some positive elements in what the Minister has said, in that in relation to his commission clinically led review of general surgery in Northern Ireland, which has been headed up by Professor Mark Taylor, that he, I think the terminology used is that he will ensure that the speciality is equipped to deliver an equitable, sustainable and high quality service for every adult and child in Northern Ireland, irrespective of postcode. Now, I for one will hold any health minister to that, because I believe at present there is the possibility that we could have a postcode lottery in relation to general surgery. And the outworkings of that over the coming months will be highly scrutinised. I know Pathfinder and other people will be looking at it, as will elected reps. But I will be holding the Minister very clearly to that wording of equitable, because we are concerned here that there is some form of geo-discrimination going on. And that brings me to the other element of it, which is the sustainability and long-term potential cross-border collaboration, which does not, in my view, impact anybody's view of the constitutional position here. In fact, it's based very firmly on the premise of what I've seen as mutual benefit, north and south. I was involved in a visit to Dublin recently, where I met Maurice O'Connor, the Deputy Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health, and there is a clear willingness to explore new ways of collaboration on the Eastern Seaboard, given pressures that are coming on both health services and where there is capacity on either side of the border to fulfil need on either side of the border. And I hope going forward that those issues can be discussed at length between the two departments, north and south, and that we can build on what has been a very successful cancer care centre in Altnagelvin, and also in relation to the ongoing renal service cross-border that we provide at Daisy Hill, because I believe that Daisy Hill is ideally placed to deal with the cooperation at that sort of level. And I believe that there are specialities that we can grow beyond the elective surgery element that is potentially coming. So I think it's very important that we all work together collaboratively and politically to ensure that the future of our health service ensures that Daisy Hill is front and centre and a key part of that. But most importantly, we need to respond, read in detail the urgent and emergency care review that has been tabled from the 16th of March. We don't have much time after Purdah and after the election to deal with that, but I think it's very important that this community and this district makes its voice heard in how much we cherish our ED department, and we want to sustain and uphold our Type 1 ED at Daisy Hill. And I would encourage everyone to follow up on those points that the Minister has outlined in his letter, and make sure that we hold him as a council to the initiatives that he has outlined. And whoever, if we get an assembly up and running again, the next health minister will be, we certainly need to make sure that we re-emphasise those very strong health feelings within our district. Thanks, Chair, and thank you for allowing me to speak on that.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair, and I do welcome the response back from the Minister. But what I would say is that we don't need any more reviews or consultations to tell us what we already know. The Southern Trust need to be held to account. They have a responsibility to recruit and retain specialist clinicians. The big question is, how have we got to the position that we are in, saying that they had plenty of forewarning and notice about that? So it is about accountability. It's not about more reviews. It's about holding those people who are being paid by us to do exactly what they're being paid to do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Declan. Councillor McAteer?
You have been up to comment 19 on the
correspondence. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really to welcome the fact that the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service are going to consider transport in the interim to Craigavon, other than the emergency travel, which will endanger people potentially. And I would be advocating that they would actually look at that even in the future, because a lot of the transfers, because of some of the equipment isn't available, Daisy Hill people have been transferred, and it seems always that there has to be an ambulance, while it doesn't necessarily, in fact, have to be. So they seem to be reviewing this with a very positive, hopefully a positive outcome to that. You know, so welcome that sentence in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Declan. Okay, so I don't see any more comments on those items. So that brings us on to item number 21, the notice of motion from Councillor McMurray. So Councillor McMurray, if you're happy to read your motion, as this is being referred to the AHC committee. So if you don't mind reading your motion as it is and letting us know who's going to be seconding it, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this council notes the recent report from the National Institute of Economic and Social Research, which draws the conclusion in its most recent UK economic outlook that the economy is powering down, not levelling up, and commits this council to raising awareness of the reality of child poverty within our district. Furthermore, in order to best utilise key learnings and networks established from Council's COVID-19 response, this Council will seek to identify improved means of tackling child poverty and inequalities throughout the district, including the Council-led review of local emergency support provision, agrees to make this issue a standalone component part of our next corporate plan, and agrees to write to the Minister for the Department of Communities to request a meeting on the child poverty strategy in order to receive an update and to identify opportunities for further collaboration and inter-agency working. And very kindly, at short notice, Councillor Hoyle has agreed to second that, Chair.
You're happy to second, Councillor Hoyle?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay, folks, that concludes the meeting for this evening. Thanks, everyone, for their cooperation. And to everyone at home, enjoy the rest of your evening, and everyone in the chamber, safe home. Thank you.